This is Street Knowledge with Chris Graham.
Welcome to the podcast. Chris Graham and Rod Mullins. We're going to talk some NASCAR here on Tuesday. And first, let's break down what happened this weekend in Atlanta. We had another exciting race. Brad Keselowski gets the win, and a tight win at the end. And he led the final 33 laps and tightened up as we got towards the finish. And he was in a bit of a daze. Apparently, Keselowski wouldn't have been able to race if the race had been on Saturday because he was dealing with the flu. So a big win considering the conditions, even bigger for Brad Keselowski.
Yeah, I'm telling you, can't say enough about this win for Brad Keselowski, because on Saturday, he and his wife both woke up, stomach flu, if you want to call it the flu, stomach virus, I don't know what it was, but he could not even go through one of the final practice sessions on Saturday in Atlanta. And the big question mark was whether or not Austin Cindric, who was one of the Penske drivers, was going to be able to step in if he would have to start for Keselowski for the race on Sunday. But he managed to get in the car, and he managed to pull off a big win just by having a bag of IV. That's what really helped him on Saturday more than anything else. He did that and kind of relaxed a little bit. Still wasn't feeling up to par there, but still got out on the track and then pulled off a what I think was a big win for him by just simply being there toward the end and just kind of hanging around there and kind of seeing how the track was going to go and how things were going to happen out there for the rest of the drivers. And it paid off for him on Sunday. I think it was a great win for Brett Keselowski. And it was a big win for Keselowski and Penske, because this put him ahead of all the other Penske drivers that Roger Penske has had in the stable for so long, whether it be in IMSA and IndyCar, Formula One. And when I say that, I'm talking about Mark Donohue. He beat out Mark Donohue, who only ran one NASCAR race at one time in his life, but the rest of the time ran either IMSA, Formula One, IndyCar, you know, the different kind of series of those, and then turned around and beat him, goes ahead now with 60 wins for Donohue's 59 wins. But it was a big win for Keselowski, not only of a morale builder for himself and being sick, but getting out there and picking up that big win for Penske.
So we're going to talk about this a lot this season in NASCAR, the rules, package changes that were implemented in the offseason. Atlanta is a place that normally you see, I mean, you can see big lead. You can see the leader get out in front. I mean, we've seen it in past years, 10, 12-second leads for the person out in front. A lot tighter racing this time around. We had 25 lead changes, and at the end, Martin Truex Jr. nearly ran down Keselowski. He lost by 0.2 seconds, but he was making a run towards the end there. But I know that the opinion's sort of going back and forth, depending on the race you're talking to, as to, well, the impact of the rules changes and how things went there. What's the general consensus there, Rod, as far as, you know, we're only two races into the 2019 season. How is this rules package sort of playing out so far?
To me, there are things I like about it, and there's things that I don't like about it. And I think it's a little bit too early for us to really get the full feel of this this rule change and the package, the aero package that they put on these cars. I don't think we're going to get a really good idea about these cars until maybe after the fourth race of the season. They're going to Las Vegas this coming week, and then they'll be heading down to Phoenix to ISM Raceway. And I think we'll get a better idea of how this aero package is performing, especially for the flat, or at least the partially, at least, I guess, with the incline of the track on the 1.5-mile speedway sports we've had in Atlanta. This past weekend, we're going to another so-called cookie-cutter track when we go out to Atlanta, or excuse me, to Las Vegas this coming weekend. ISM will be a little bit different, but it's still one of those tracks of where people find out how this suspension, the tires, and so forth. And let me just tell you, the tires, I think, didn't do as well at Atlanta as I thought they should have. Atlanta's a rough track. Atlanta has always been a rough track. It has always ate up tires. And if anybody watched any of the coverage on Sunday, they were bringing some of the tires off the cars. And I'm telling you, the inside part of the tires were eaten away by the pavement there in Atlanta. So you know, they are going with a different kind of tire package or at least some kind of compound this coming weekend when they go to Las Vegas, and they'll probably be looking at something like that when they go to Phoenix. How is this going to change the aero package? Nobody knows. I heard one MRM announcer said on a tweet this past weekend, he said, don't ask me any more questions about the rule package. I don't want to answer them right now. He said, everybody's got an opinion. Let's wait till about the fourth or fifth race, find out where we stand at that point, and then we'll start talking about the rule package. So, you know, we have yet to see how it's really going to stand up. And, I mean, there's going to be a little bit of a rules change, too, by the time that they get to Bristol, because when they get on these shorter tracks, that restrictor plate or that plate that they have commanding all that horsepower that usually goes through the engine, it may be slowed down a little bit by the time they get to Bristol. And that's hard to believe, considering you've got the world's fastest half mile, and this little plate may go and bring the speed down. Not a whole lot, but it'll still bring them down a little bit, but it will bunch the racing up, sort of like what we saw in Atlanta. So I'm kind of, you know, mixed right now at this point. I think it's been good. I like a lot more closer racing and a chance. But if you're Martin Truex Jr., you don't like this sort of stuff, because Martin Truex has been on Ricky Stenhouse's case ever since Sunday and saying that Stenhouse, a lapsed car, should have moved out of the way. I agree with him. I think that Stenhouse, he didn't have a chance at this race. He was probably trying to get back on the lead lap as best as he could. But for Truex, he still, Stenhouse was providing enough trouble for him trying to get around that track and not providing enough clean air into his engine that probably could have got him to the front a lot faster. And Martin Truex said at the end of the race, he said, if I had one more lap, I think I could have beat Brad Keselowski, and that's probably true with that.
Yeah, when you lose by 0.2, that's, you know, every little bit. Another person, Joey Logano, he finished back in the pack. He was in the mid-20s, but he was also talking rules package. Now, NASCAR wants tighter racing, and that's what, you know, this is all designed to do. But Logano is saying that it's going to cause tempers to flare. To take us more into that, Rod.
Well, I mean, he's saying something, and he's lived through this. He has been through this when you have had very tight racing before, and all of these different kind of scenarios when the racing has been tight and the surface has been, you know, in rough shape sometimes. Eric Almirola said this best. He said it was a challenge. He said the cars make so much downforce. They're going so fast that it's really, really hard to make passes until it gets late in the run. So what he's saying by that is you've got a car that is tight. It starts out, and you're hoping to try to find that right combination before all is said and done. You do some changes here. You may pop a couple of things of wedge in, but you still do some changes in there into the race chassis itself. And then over time, as that car starts getting a little bit more wore, then it starts coming to you. And then, of course, the surface starts coming to you a little bit more. But when you're going that fast, and then here you are going around the track, and you feel like you can't go any faster and get around these packs of cars that you're stuck in, that's where the problem is coming up. And for Almirola, it presented some problems for him. Keselowski, of course, that's what made him win the race out of it. But, you know, Keselowski said also, for him, it's always been a track bar adjust. It's always been one of the things that helps him play, of course, what he calls defense, or easier to play defense when he's trying to race and win a race like he did on Sunday. And he thought that that was kind of an interesting thing. He saw more corners. He saw more goers going into the corner because of that personally. So that track bar adjustment made a big difference in the race. But still, it's packing everybody up. And according to Steve O'Donnell, NASCAR Chief Racing Development Officer, he saw a fairly entertaining race. And I think a lot of the fans saw a fairly entertaining race, with the exception of some of that bunched up traffic and so forth. But I know where he's coming from with Joey Logano. There's going to be some temper. There's going to be some tempers. It's going to be really flaring before it's over with. And when you hear about tempers flaring, you think of Kyle Busch. He's been a critic of the package. His mind has not been swayed by Sunday's race more than anything else. He says traffic is bad, arrow-wise. He says you get behind somebody and they take your arrow away and you're just junk. The other thing is, they're bumping a lot more than what they have been. People are trying to bump cars to say, hey, move on, go faster, get out of the way or do something. And I think we're going to have that kind of situation before it's all said and done. There's going to be some bumps. There's going to be some hits. And when they do, there's going to be some arguments and some fights take place.
Yeah, and I'm one of the things that's actually good for NASCAR. It, in a weird way, it's more exciting when they're out there a little mad at each other, racing a little mad at each other, too. So let's look forward to Vegas. Vegas this weekend, attention shifts out west. And you mentioned, Ron, a sort of a cookie-cutter track for NASCAR to be competing on. Preview the Vegas race for us.
Well, the Vegas race is always one of those pivotal ones, especially coming out of the Daytona and the Atlantas and all. And for them, it's a chance for them to go out at least a little bit close to the West Coast and get that little bit of that racing flavor. It's a good homecoming for the Busch boys. I mean, for Kyle and Kurt, it's a great opportunity to go back home. And I can't really go without saying of how well Kurt Busch did over the weekend at Atlanta. Kurt Busch finished third in the race, which was a great performance for Chip Ganassi Racing there. Kyle Larson, he had his issues as well involved in the race, but he was hanging in there pretty close. But it was a great race for Kurt Busch. And, I mean, he's only driving. This is his first season with Chip Ganassi Racing. But back to Las Vegas. Las Vegas is another one of those, like I said, cookie-cutter track. But it's got a little bit of a different surface to it. And this is what I mean. In Atlanta, you don't have as much trouble in Atlanta because I guess you don't have as much wind and also the big deal of sand. Out in Las Vegas, sand, you've got some wind coming in because Las Vegas is in the desert. But you'll have some sand gets whipped in on that track sometimes. And even though they have a fairly good racing surface out there at Las Vegas, once that sand gets on that track, it's almost like being on ice to a certain degree, unless you take advantage of that opportunity to get in that groove and you prove that groove and just run it down so much to where at least your car will stick to that groove on the track. If you get anywhere else out on that track, something's going to happen and you're going to take off and you're just going to either hit the wall or you're going to go into somebody. So if with that happening and then also with all the attrition on the tires last weekend in Atlanta, we're going to see probably a new tire setup or at least some kind of a new tire formula from Goodyear of how they will handle Las Vegas this weekend. And that could be a possibility of how they will handle it, too, when they go to Phoenix. And Phoenix is very similar to the Las Vegas scenario of the sand and so forth. The stuff gets flown on the track. We'll just have to see how they go. And like I said, the Busch brothers, somebody could come away with the win this weekend. Kyle Busch could come away with the win. I wouldn't doubt that Kurt Busch maybe come away with a good win because he's raced that track. He knows how it goes. Both of them know how that track really, they can move around through there and get some things done. But you can't really rule out somebody like Mark Truex at this point either. Mark Truex, his team, and Joe Gibbs Racing, they're hungry for a win. They really wanted one this past weekend in Atlanta. So we'll have to see how that goes. But Brad Keselowski, he surprised us, I think, in the fall last year with a win out there. And also, while he's out on that winning streak that he had. So anything is possible. We may see another great performance from Brad Keselowski in the Penske race.
As we wrap the podcast, we neglected last week. The NASCAR family lost someone very near and dear to a lot of people's hearts. Artist Sam Bass passed away on February 16th. Hopewell, born and bred. He lived in Concord, North Carolina, VCU grad. And so talk about Sam Bass and what he meant to the sport of NASCAR.
Well, Sam Bass, I think, was the one that probably gave NASCAR its first graphic image more than anything else. When I go back and look at some of the old brochures and some of the old programs or some of the racing things, these are typical kind of print things that you'll see. You'll see a clip art sort of thing, two race cars on there that were, you know, didn't even probably reflect stock car racing at the time. And then Sam Bass translated his version, or at least his vision of what he saw in racing, and put it to paper. And he came up with some of the most unique paintings and also drawings of some of these drivers, Dale Earnhardt in particular, some of the others, Richard Petty also. He came up with some of the most unique and almost lifelike, at least to me, lifelike design that anybody could have come up with. Not only did he do the programs and posters and special, you know, print sets for people and sell those at the racetrack and have those available through his store online, he also helped design and give the image that hasn't really gone away from the number 24 car with Hendrick Motorsport. And when I say that, go back and look when Jeff Gordon first appeared on the NASCAR circuit back in the early 90s, that unique DuPont paint scheme was Sam Bass. And then he has also affected some of the other cars over the years as well and some of their design. He was the one that came up with the design of the flames on the 24 car that you'll see occasionally as time goes on. But Sam Bass had fought a number of issues, type 1 diabetic. He had lost a leg here in the last several years. Things were not good for him. He had almost gotten to the point of where he had reached, and he was selling stuff off for bankruptcy and everything because of the medical bills and so forth that was piling on. So I know that some people might look at this whole thing and say, oh, Sam Bass, he was involved in the racing world. Well, he didn't have to really worry about money, but I think as everybody probably knows one way or the other, an artist who is good at their work and does really well, they may make some money out of it, but in the end, they're going to be starving by the time it comes to the very end, or they're going to become more popular after their death. And I think with Sam Bass, I think that's probably what's going to happen. I hate that all this had to happen to him and so forth, but he was a trooper. He was a real trooper through this, and I had a chance to kind of talk to him a little bit on Twitter back and forth here about 6 months ago. He really loved all the attention of people, you know, kind of returning back to him to talk a little bit more about some of the artwork and some of the things he had done. But things have progressively gotten worse for him over the last few months, and he passed away, and unfortunately, we'll only have Sam Bass's artwork as a memory to some of the great things he did for NASCAR. I think that's probably what helped NASCAR through about the late 80s into the 90s, early 2000s. That gave NASCAR an image I don't think that anybody else could ever touch in quite a while.
57 years old, he'd been working in NASCAR for more than 30 years, and so, yeah, the NASCAR community lost someone very important. He will be missed. Well, Rod, thank you for your time. Thanks for getting us ready for Vegas, and we'll look forward to talking to you next week and continuing through this NASCAR season.
Okay, thanks, Chris. Appreciate it.